Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I was thinking, wouldn't it be funny if we just opened this episode also by talking about teeth? I don't actually have anything to say about teeth, but I really like the idea of charmlessly just opening it so it makes it seem like every single episode is just going to be about dentistry.
Yeah, probably not. Nobody's going to get it. No. They're just going to, like, you know, if they're like me, they just look for the show they've seen or whatever.
Yeah. Anyway, so I am probably going to get interrupted at some point because a pest control guy has gone ahead and made himself an appointment for today without consulting us.
Okay.
He called and tried to make an appointment with me, and then, but I was too busy to answer the call yesterday. And then today, Richie went and found that he had arrived and then asked me if anybody had called me. And I was like, well, it looks like 15 minutes ago, someone told me that they were on their way. Herman told me he was on his way here.
Herman.
So I don't know. And then Richie sent him away because I wasn't awake yet and he didn't know. And that was wise of him because it could have been a scammer. But the reason that the pest control person is coming is because we hear an awful scribbling sound in the walls.
Ooh.
Ooh.
That's exciting. I hope it's a person.
That would be exciting. I mean, we know that cats sometimes live in our little, like, alley and backyard sometimes. One of them I named Professor McGonagall. Mm-hmm. And when we first moved in, she's enormous and gray. Uh-huh. And definitely seems like a person who is in a cat body. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's the cats or it's what the cats are chasing that we're hearing. Mm-hmm. But it's a icky either way. Okay. Well, I guess it's not icky if it's just cats. Although when it rains, it smells like cat pee out there. And it's not nice.
That's fun.
At least it's only outside my office and our bedroom.
Good. You know, good, good, good.
So that's exciting. Anyway, you want to just jump the hell into this piece of shit movie?
Actually, I have something to say.
Oh, what do you have to say?
I discovered, well, it's not the first time I've felt it, but I clearly identified a really awful feeling.
Mm.
And it's this.
What is it?
It's when you're on your way to the kitchen and your guest says, sorry about the Oreos. I'll get you more.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. It happened to me.
How many were left? I would never eat the last of anything.
There were shamefully few left. It's the other thing about
shameful.
Having Adam.
I don't know how long they've been there.
Well, now that Adam's here, I've identified yet another problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that is I got pretty used to nobody knowing when I bought stuff. So they brought in these ginger snaps, which I also love.
Uh-huh.
And it was really nice because our guest heard me talking about how much I love ginger snaps and bought them for me.
Oh, that is nice. Well, you know what else will make you a psycho?
A theme song I'm hearing?
Well, what follows the theme song?
Oh, God, yes. I forgot we were doing that.
Welcome to Nameless Best Friends. I'm Paige.
I'm out of Oreos.
Oh, well, and you are eating another cookie.
It's on my last ginger snap. I'm Beth.
Yeah. I think that was clear.
I thought so, too.
Well, 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 if it isn't a film. And by that, I mean, well, 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 it isn't a film.
Yep.
Falling in love with Niagara. Falling in love in Niagara? Falling in love in Niagara.
It's not. They were supposedly in love with each other.
Falling in love in Niagara. Did you
not
going to
make
the
supposedly jokes anymore? Just because I don't want anybody to think I'm serious.
Yeah. Did you come up with an alternate title for this one?
Only Falling Over Niagara Without a Barrel.
But alas, it
does not fit.
Mm. I came up with a Niagara travel pamphlet live.
Yeah.
It's just following.
What about Niagara? It ain't what it used to be. Because I saw the film Niagara. Did you see that?
Marilyn Monroe movie?
Yeah. Kind of moody and stuff. I think that Niagara used to be like, you know, there were motels in but now it's just a big fucking city looking across the Canadian border at another big fucking city. And it doesn't look like a fun destination place. It looks like, let's honeymoon in Indianapolis. Have you heard the stories of Cincinnati? You know what I mean? Like, it's perfectly nice city. Yeah. I liked Cincinnati. It would not be my honeymoon destination.
I mean, it's just because it was like the classic, the cliche, like the honeymoon to Niagara was such a like World War II era thing.
Yeah.
And in that sense, I thought, oh, this could be cute. Because, you know, because that is such an old fashioned thing. And, you know, her following her in her grandparents' footsteps to go there being the reason that she's doing such a retro thing is cute. But I mean, agreed. It's like when I went to Montreal, it's beautiful. And I loved Montreal. But then if you drive out of like the cute part, which is also the touristy part, I'm not pretending like I was there like a local. It's like the historic district. Like every city has a historic district.
Right.
Although maybe because it was Canada or French Canada or French Canada, it was a little less like brazenly touristy.
Right.
You know, like of course there were souvenir shops and stuff like that, but there were really good restaurants. Like that's where a lot of the best restaurants were. And like, you know, it's all cobblestone streets and everything, but it's really cute. And then you venture out of it. And it's just like, it's just skyscrapers. And it's just like, it's like all like the financial district in New York. Like, I mean, and I feel like that's true everywhere, but yeah, like Niagara.
It's not true here, like, but most places.
Right. Well, I feel like, I mean, it still has that. It has the Palm Springs, like the strip or whatever.
No, I'm agreeing, though. I'm saying it's kind of weird, though, because we have a skyline rule, you know?
Like, so does Boulder. And I don't know if Denver does.
London.
But yeah. Which I think is great because, it's like I don't want to be just like in, you know, at the nestling basin of only skyscrapers.
Yeah.
I don't want that. But it's just, I mean, like this very like windows and glass sort of is not what it's like. I want it to be like Pioneer Town, you know, like I want it to just be a bunch of weird, or like Marfa or like, you know, I just want it to be like that. But I never thought about that. So this is a new problem that that this movie has given me because I didn't consider what I needed Niagara to be at all.
Right.
Until now.
I did immediately. I immediately, when it opened, I was not expecting to feel that way, but I thought, you know, God, this is giving me no mood. This is not giving me any, you know.
Definitely not a mood movie, no.
Right.
It's like, it's, yeah, I mean, like, I'm not really one for, oh, fuck. Oh, Hernan will be here at 4:40. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, like, I'm just so the opposite. Like, I would never want to have an itinerized honeymoon at all.
So you're a Jason.
Yeah, I just want to play golf.
Right. Who doesn't?
I would never. Yeah. I would never want to be on a trip like that at all. Not with a woman like that. Not with a man like that. Not with anything. And so, you know, the whole trip just sounded like a nightmare to me. It's like, if I'm going on a honeymoon, it better be Provence. It better be somewhere tropical. It's something, you know, like very, I want vacation core, but that's not what this movie's all about. This movie opens with like some weird, like electronic pop song that doesn't match the girl at all.
Right.
Like, she's someone who seems like she listens in earnest to Colby Calais and Rusted Root. Like, she does not seem like somebody who's, I mean, a lot of things didn't match, but it's so crazy because she wakes up and she makes her little OCD anal little breakfast, and then her fiance arrives. Well, actually, it shows the love interest waking up, and it's like, oh, is that her love? Oh, no, it isn't. But then, and at first I was like, oh, okay, so they do live together. That's just the other. No, they don't live together. It was obvious
to me they were just showing the juxtaposition. Like, she's all neat and tidy, and she puts, you know, her plate together, and he's got leftover cartons from Chinese food.
Yeah, right. But then the thing is it's just in the context of, like, we knew she was about to get dumped because that was in the description. Was like, she's about her marriage is about, or her wedding's about to get called off. And so I was just like, oh, I thought we were going to go. It was just weird because he doesn't come into the movie for a little bit. So it was weird.
After her fiance leaves her before their wedding, Madeline goes to Niagara Falls to honeymoon without him. There she reconnects with her adventurous side, learns to let go, and finds new love. So yes, it was in the description.
That's right.
We didn't really need it, though, because as soon as we saw the central casting, you know, uptight guy, it was obvious he was going to be the big city boyfriend that dumps her unexpectedly.
I hate that man with my whole being.
The character or the actor?
I don't know the actor, but now I hate him too.
Oh, I can't stand this actor. I have tried time and again to get out of having to do his movies. A Christmas Mural, anyone?
No. I know you hate him. I know you hate him.
I feel bad about it because I think he's probably a really nice guy, but no, thank you.
Yeah, I feel like he wounded you in another life or he reminds you of somebody. Did.
I think it's like that guy that you used to work with at the Willard.
Oh, yeah. My soul hated his soul.
You said that.
Yeah, there was no reason for it. He was a barback and he would just like... I liked everybody else.
And he was nice to you. God. It was the same thing, right?
Yeah, he brought me dinner once. I just, God, I hated him. Oh my God, he was so annoying. But anyway, no, I was talking about the fiance. He is the most disgusting, vile character. Yeah. And therefore, that's the only information I have on the actor. So I have to hate him too.
Exactly.
God, he sucks so hard. But he doesn't live there. They don't live together.
Yeah.
And he storms in and is just like, sorry for coming so early, which is just like, man, you guys seem really close. Mm-hmm. And then he's looking for his green striped socks that are his lucky deal making socks because he works in capital S sales.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to imagine making a deal in a business situation with a man who's wearing holy green striped socks. And she says she threw them out because they were filled with holes.
Shame on him for ever wearing those green striped socks to a business meeting.
Agreed. Yeah. He should never have even discovered that they were good luck.
Yeah. Unless he was just, you know, selling his story as the owner of Scooby-Doo. That's not appropriate.
Yeah. So then she's like, I mean, this, I just, look, you know, I know that Hallmark is cliche. I know that they do the same things in all the movies.
Right.
But I don't understand why they do some of the, like, sometimes it's like, I think I wrote it down at some point here, but there's some weird continuity thing that's just so glaring. Oh, yeah, I did write it down. And we'll get to it. Okay. But, like, why do that? Or, like, why make him so fucking awful? Like, it's not satisfying to watch somebody, like, watching somebody leave the worst person on earth is just like, well, she shouldn't have been there to begin with. It's just not, you know, and I don't know why they can't just make him a little bit redeeming, like make it seem like they've ever even been in the same space and had a nice time there.
Right. And it's also, you know, we start to think, oh, God, she needs therapy. She's got a type. She likes men who are, you know, bad to her and disrespectful.
Totally, because he's a dick, but then she gets on the phone to try and arrange her her tour guide, yes. Which, again, fun honeymoon.
Yeah, exactly.
She gets on the phone with him, and he's such a dick, too. She's, like, being really vulnerable, talking, like, you know, when you're a client of somebody's, you know, saying, like, you're here to provide a service. Well, here's what I'm looking to get out of it. You have to be nice to them. It's just, like, you can't be, like, you can't go into the dentist's office. and be like, look, I'm really insecure about like my this tooth that has a like a chip in it. And I'd really like to and then have them be like, God, they look like absolute fucking shit. Your teeth look so dumb. You look like a mouthful of Chiclets. Like, you can't just be mean to them. And this guy works at the tour guide place and he seems like he doesn't care at all. She's like talking about, well, my grandparents, they went on their honeymoon to Niagara and, you know, it's really important to me that I do these things and whatever. And yeah, you know, and she's being really like open and vulnerable and yes, irritating. And then he's just like, yeah, cool. Sounds good. And then yeah, at one point,
like he's showing off for his coworker, like, aren't I the most aloof?
Yeah, but it's her business, it seems like, and yep. She's really floundering.
Yep.
It's like, no.
And what? With good reason, because look at the place. They're just, it seems obvious how to go to the one single attraction there.
Well, yeah. And the
there's probably there's like a mile where you could stand anywhere and see it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, this is not, this isn't even like looking for the Statue of Liberty. You know what I mean? Like, this
it's is not.
This is like also, looking for the Grand Canyon. Like, I need guides to get me to the Grand Canyon.
And I get that people do hire tour guides, but not for a week.
Yeah.
You don't go on vacation someplace for a week and be like, you know who I'd like to spend the entire vacation with?
Since I just
a
got married.
A stranger. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A stranger who is going to just nonstop info dump on me.
Yeah.
That would be really fun.
Yep.
I just can't imagine. Like, it's like one day you go see, you go with a tour. I don't want to do this, but I get some people being like, oh, yeah, like I want to go, I want to have a tour guide so I can learn about how the falls, blah, blah, blah. And which of all, she didn't even learn. Like, she didn't learn any fun things. I understand hiring somebody for something like that. But the concept of one entire week with a tour guide is delusional, right? Tell me if I'm crazy.
No, you're absolutely right. This is what I've been saying. We don't really do the how would you fix it thing so much anymore.
No, because we're just talking shit the whole time.
Yeah, because there's no way to fix it. But I mean, like, this could have been, I mean, like, if we wanted to do something historic, there would have been, for example, a way to do, you know, Route 66. I really want to go to some of the places that are still there. There are some places that are still there. There could have been a way to do that and then still have some charm, some distinctive personality to the environment and the scenery and therefore the movie. But in this case, yeah, it was just kind of like, I mean, really, it really does look like Cincinnati or Indianapolis or any other
Minneapolis, any other polis.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, so yeah, I mean, but the choice has been made. So here we are. We're stuck with it. She gets dumped by her fiance or, well, I guess it's just her boyfriend. Her boyfriend of 3 years.
No, it's her fiance because they're engaged.
Well, then why does he propose at the end?
Because he's re-proposing. As she says, I got re-engaged. But that's it. That's, yeah.
Okay.
So, well, but
it usually is a fiance. So why would they break tradition now?
Yeah. And he sucks so hard. But to be fair, she doesn't seem like a total picnic.
No.
She seems pretty difficult. I mean, because in the scene where he dumps her.
Yeah.
He's like, you ordered for me? And it's a white wine. And I had many thoughts about that. I was like, well, ordering for somebody isn't crazy. It's actually kind of nice. Like if I knew Richie was on his way, I'd be like, maybe this mezcal Negroni, that sounds good. And if he doesn't like it, then we can switch or something.
Right, exactly.
But it seemed like she ordered her drink for him. Mm-hmm. But I also, because he doesn't seem like a white wine guy to me, but he seems like the kind of guy who would only drink wine out of a rocks glass, which may sound made up, but actually is a thing from what I bartended. Some men were so insecure that they wouldn't drink out of a wine glass. They had to have their wine in a rocks glass. Or if it was a martini, any kind of like any sort of thing that was served in a martini glass, they mm-hmm. wanted it served in a rocks glass.
Well, that's kind of weird. I mean, it doesn't not sound like a thing to me, but like, you know, sometimes whatever. I mean, like,
no, it's just and they don't want to be emasculated by feminists.
Yeah, if I were at a restaurant, I'd be delighted to have a wine glass, you know, whereas here, you know, it's like pretty much any vessel that'll hold it.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's about at home, sure, a juice glass, a mug, you know, an IV
sometimes
drip, whatever.
Just, yeah, exactly. You suck it right out of the bladder.
Yeah.
The wine box bladder, not the human one. To clarify.
Oh, man, my life would be so much less expensive if I could tolerate wine, box wine.
Yeah, well.
he was a dick about it. My first thought was for it to be like, you ordered for me. And I'm like, like, shut up, dude. But then my thought was, yeah, well, it does seem like she ordered the same thing she got for herself, which is weird if he isn't a white wine guy. Yeah. And then further than that,
after three years, she probably knows, you would think.
Yeah. And then after that, she says, napkin. And I was like, oh, okay.
Oh.
He didn't have his napkin on his lap, so she was reminding him of that, which actually is fucking crazy. So.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, they're both pretty awful. I mean, I didn't wish better for her in this movie. I thought everybody sucked. Every single person in this movie, including Beth.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Not you.
Not me.
So yeah, it's crazy. So she gets dumped and then she's crying watching Hallmark movies.
Uh-huh.
And her
Which
coffee table
confused me so much because I forgot I was watching on Peacock and I was like, is this one of those extended commercials for a different movie? And
yeah.
Then suddenly it was our movie again. And of course we know why now, but yeah. I was confused.
And her coffee table is riddled with loose chips and cupcakes and all kinds of breakup detritus, which is funny and fine and great little set design moment. But you know what? She does not seem like she would be fine with that in any way, shape or form. And I feel like for a character like that, I think what actually happens in real life is that she would go deeper and further into her flaw, you know, mm-hmm. and in good writing, like she would become more anal and OCD about, mm-hmm. about things. Mm-hmm. She wouldn't be sitting because the point of the movie is for her to break the control issue. And the entire time, like, but then in this, she's already done it by being unhappy. So,
yeah, I mean, but yeah, that's a really good point because it would be again, just how would you fix it? Just that point in particular, you could show so much by having her stacking something on her desk or even eating and, you know, pulling a grape off and then putting the grapes back where they were or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Though she just needs to, I don't know. It was weird that she'd already broken her control issue by being in breakup mode. And her sister shows up and her nameless best sister shows up.
Yeah.
And she's like, we got to get you out of here. We're going to go to Niagara, the two of us. And it's just like, again, I don't know. Like, it would be better if she was deep into her flaw rather than being already.
Yeah, I liked the idea of the sister moon at first, mm-hmm. though, and I liked their interaction. Actually wrote that down at one point, but then it just became weird. Her sister was
drunk in one scene? Because there was a scene where she seemed 100% drunk, and it wasn't written in the script.
I did not notice
she
that.
She was slurring, and it's very funny. But it's
she was just so judgy. I mean, it was like, it's not fun to watch the sister, you know, I don't know, like this. It's like the sister had an affair with Jason as well and was like really so glad it seemed to be over so the truth would never come out.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, so she's like virulently against them getting back together instead of, I don't know, man, I think you should remember, you know, what it was really like or whatever you'd really say to your sister or your friend or your mother.
Mm-hmm.
Or your daughter.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's whatever. So then she says that they're going on, like, we're going to go on this trip because you couldn't get any of your money back, which is such a thing that I can't get my money back for the honeymoon. So I have to go anyway thing, but it's a cute, fine rom-com premise. Sure.
It's great for that song, Drunk on a Plane.
Hmm?
There's a country song called Drunk on a Plane about a guy going on his honeymoon again and he's getting drunk on a plane and buying drinks for everybody. It's really funny.
Yeah. This girl, she was the one from that dancing movie, right? The stupid aerial yoga.
Oh, God.
Love with a Twist?
Yes.
She's so funny, though. She's so charming and she is delivering some of these very, very difficult to deliver lines very well. Uh-huh. She says a lot of things. Like, I was listening to, like, she found a way to wrap some good acting around some pretty bad pits.
Oof.
Yeah. So then they go to check into the hotel, and the guy there gives the weirdest performance ever. I taped it. I filmed it so I can put it on the Instagram thing. But he's like, oh, well, your name doesn't match. If it doesn't match our records, we can't let you in. And just as quickly goes to, we don't have a sister moon discount at the moment, type, you're in, as if it's like he had to play like,
not only you're in, but do you want the honeymoon suite or something? right?
But it wasn't. He didn't even say that. He just said, you're in.
Oh, I thought he followed that with something about the honeymoon suite. I think he did.
No, he said, do you still want the honeymoon champagne?
Oh, all right. Okay.
But it was just like, well,
see, that's
what?
How gripped I was by the movie. I was super paying attention.
But it was just the delivery was just super weird. And when I send you the video, you'll see how weird it is, because then he like does a weird performance after that. It's so crazy. And then she goes for a walk by herself. And then I was like, she like won't let her sister come. And I was like, OK. And then she's in front of Niagara Falls, which looks terrifying. And then she took a selfie that made me really sad. Mm-hmm. Just smiling gamely all by herself. I don't like that.
And then she sees some loser sitting there playing the guitar. Clowns never laughed before.
Well, it was very Gilmore Girls vibes, because it was like like the busker in Stars mm-hmm. Hollow. But yeah, then it was not. But then it wasn't. And then she turns around and she hurls a quarter into an open cup of coffee that is visibly filled to the brim, so much so that it's practically splashing out.
Yeah.
And then he says a lot of things that are like kind of...
Ooh, my shirt!
Well, he says a lot of little ninny things, but he also says a lot of things that are like kind of a little bit like maybe offensive to unhoused people. I don't know. He was just, do I look like the kind of person who needs spare change? And it's like... Well, what does that kind of person look like? I don't know. It just seemed he said like a lot of little weird lines there that I thought mm-hmm. nobody gave this like a PR check. Nobody took the red pen to this, huh?
Well, who doesn't need spare change or want a lucky coin or something? Like, if there's a quarter on the ground, if there's a penny on the ground, I'll stop and pick it up, you know, and hope it's lucky.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and it's also like, if you're going to sit there in a fucking park playing the guitar,
right?
What the hell, with an open cup?
I'm trying to play privately by myself.
He literally says that.
I know. That's.
I mean, it's crazy. That's like being...
But then she did, luckily she said, in the most popular tourist destination in the world, which is dubious.
No, cannot be true.
No, this is not, you know, not beating Paris or Cabo or, yeah, are you looking it up?
Yeah. France. Just France.
Okay.
It's the world tourism ranking on Wikipedia is 79.4 million.
Okay, what's number
Spain,
two, Poland?
Then you...
That's never going to get old. The Polish jokes write themselves.
Oh, my God. It goes France, Spain, United States, Turkey, then Italy, then Mexico, United Kingdom, Germany, Greece, and Austria.
Well, if you're talking worldwide, then maybe Turkey. I don't know why. Turkey is very similar in my experience to Greece, but
it's just really crazy. I would have thought, I mean, I get
do a lot of people, do you think they do plastic surgery honeymoons? Because Turkey is getting very, very big in the plastic surgery market. You can always tell a Turkish nose job.
Oh, really? My God.
You truly.
That's because it's good?
No. Nope, because it's inappropriately small. No matter who it's on.
But I would have thought it would be like France, Italy, Spain, US. Well, I'm
Greece.
Very surprised Italy
isn't. I would have put Greece in there.
Yeah, it's the same. I would have thought Italy would be first anyway. I just feel like most people talk about Italy. I mean, I know people talk about France, but.
Well, Paris and that bridge that I don't even think is there anymore. The locks. Didn't they take all the locks down?
So anyway, and then she's like, God, I hope I don't run into him anytime. So, oh no, he's our tour guide.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
You have some reels to make up here.
I know. Well, also, it's also funny because she gets back from this whole nightmare with the bench and she gets back and she's talking to her sister and she's like, oh, I just met the grumpiest guy on the bench. And then she's like, okay, well, do you want to go do something? And she's like, no, you stay here and rest. Scene cut. Next scene, they're out doing something, still talking about the grumpy guy on the bench. So it doesn't seem like a ton of time has passed. And then they try to she calls him Shed Tyrion, which was pretty funny. And then they try to go to a restaurant that they didn't make a reservation
for.
Wait
a minute. There was one questionable moment before that when he came in and saw that she was the whatever honeymoon person.
Right.
And she said, yes,
skateboard.
That's us. What?
He arrives on his longboard.
Oh, right. Well, anyway, cool. But then he says, I thought you said something about a groom, which seems so homophobic to me. Like,
I know, because it's two women. And if you knew it was a honeymoon,
then
you
just
wouldn't
shut up. You know, like just what? Oh, just do your job, man. Just do your job.
You wouldn't go announcing like, oh, whoa, 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 two women. Like, doesn't seem like something's right here. I don't know.
Exactly.
Speaking of the new age of romance, they're in a restaurant and they can't get in. And then another couple offers that they join them.
We'd be happy to have these two strangers join us.
Which I can just not. Okay. I have so many problems with this from a restaurant perspective.
Make the anniversary cake for four.
Yeah. But look, if you're there with three people and there's one person who's looking to dine, not that I would invite anybody to a table under any circumstances.
No.
But if it was three people and another person needs to be added, or if it's somebody you know, whatever, oh, just join us. That's because it's a three-person table is always going to have four seats. Right. A two-person reservation is likely made for a two-top.
Yeah, I was just going to say, why would they even assume they had a four-top? But whatever, it worked out great.
So that they could sit there and eat. Some God knows what. I don't know what in the blue marshmallow fluff they were eating, but it was crazy.
Tiffany. It was Tiffany marshmallow fluff. Very, very exclusive.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Anyway, yeah. So she sits there and tells her her sob story.
Mm-hmm.
And
this couple.
I thought they were really weird casting that couple, because at first I thought, you know, they must be from another movie or something. You know what I mean? Not like, oops, they put them on the wrong set. But I thought it might have been stunt casting before I realized they were really going to be part of this movie. Mm-mm. Because I don't know what it was. Was it just, I don't know why I had that impression. I think that they just had sort of bigger presence.
They just had no chemistry.
You usually have for, they yeah, but a, no also a bigger, a bigger presence. He had an unusual voice. They were an odd couple. So it didn't seem like just a, you know, Hallmark usually seems to try to get away with just doing things the most generic, unmemorable way when it's characters that aren't the mains.
Yeah.
And these two were more distinctive than your usual generic nameless best friend.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Not Beth and Phil.
Not Beth nameless. And Phil. Beth and Phil, man. Yeah, what they really, I would say, stole the show, but can you they steal do. Something no one wants? So, yeah, and then I go straight to her getting offered, to the sister getting offered the photography job.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I'm missing something, but she gets offered a great deal of money, and it was $1,000 a day for 5 days, which is not crazy to document somebody an entire day.
Yeah.
Each day and do a wedding, absolutely not a great deal of money.
Right. Well,
I mean, because I mean, it's a lot. It's a great deal of money in general. But for that kind of service, for to have a photographer follow you around for 5 days because of all the work that they have to do with the photos, too. They have to edit all those photos.
Yeah.
And then get them to you. It's just, I don't know. It seemed like pretty much what it would cost.
Right.
But
yeah, probably.
But Emily Henley, which is the name of the travel agency woman or the tourist, not Emily Henry, not to be confused with the best-selling rom-com author, Emily Henley, gave a hard photographer in this one. She said it hard.
Oh, no, I didn't even notice because I expect it. The joke is already in my head, no matter what they're saying.
Yeah, but then the sister responded photography almost in a way, the way that you do when someone pronounces something wrong and you want to like subtly be like, oh, the chameleon. Yeah, yeah, yeah. When they've just said the Shyamalan.
Yes. Or it is the epitome when they've just said the epitome.
Yes, exactly. Oh.
I run into that so much and I'm embarrassed to correct them. So then I'm going along with the epitome. You know, like if you've been in that situation where you have to repeat the word later in the conversation.
Because you don't want to be that guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then at some point in here, I mean, it was just a blur, but he ends up convincing her that she needs to be on an adventure tourism. Wait, because they also went, they went to the vineyard and it was booked on the wrong day. And then like they opened up.
Whatever that was about.
Yeah, why? It's why also a vineyard. It looked like they could just walk around. Like these people are literally like, I don't know what's going on if someone's not telling me how to do it and telling me where I am and what my life is. Especially because he is a tour guide. So if the tour guide can't possibly get it together without having another tour guide him, it's just insane. So
I absolutely buy that this guy's incompetent, though.
Oh, 1,000,000%. That part was very real. So, but then they open up and it turns out his girlfriend dumped him and then they get a cheese plate.
Oh, yeah. He was looking at his phone at a picture that said 1 year ago today. And he's gazing at it like he's in some, you know, on a widow's walk looking at a locket, you know.
Looking out at the sea. And then she's just like, oh, no. And then like a cheese plate comes along. So that guy is able to give them an entire cheese plate. It seems like, I don't know, they could have slipped in a 12-minute walk, but whatever. He brings over a cheese plate and he's like, how adventurous are you? And she's just like, do you have any dairy-free options? And then the commercial. But
whatever that was though, how adventurous are you? There's five cheeses here.
Yeah. Do you want diarrhea? Are you brave enough to have diarrhea or constipation?
How about some gas? How about some real embarrassing and unpredictable gas? Are you in?
Would you like to look 9 months pregnant all of a sudden? I don't know. But so then he convinces her that it needs to be an adventure trip. And she's like, I guess you're right. And then they go on the world's longest zip line. I mean, that scene went on and on and on. I thought it was a long scene until we got to karaoke and open mic. But it's a long scene. And then
was not doing him any favors.
No, he looked like Kazoo.
The great Kazoo.
Kazoo. And then afterwards, and I did not care enough to go back and check the subtitles, but it seemed like he said, let's go have a white tea. Which, is Niagara famous for that? I don't know. It just seemed weird. And then the next scene, it seemed like maybe they were having white tea. I don't know. It must have been something else, but I don't know what the fuck else he said.
Well, I'm not going to say anything since my Boston cannoli kerfuffle, so.
So then she's sitting with her sister and she said some.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
It said something about her. When they were walking through the vineyard, she said, my grandparents came here and they bottled their own wine and saved it for their 40th anniversary.
Oh, yeah.
And I was thinking, aren't these wines usually much more like Beaujolais Nouveau? You're not personally bottling and taking home a fine vintage wine that can last, right?
If it's part of like God knows what was happening back then, but I mean, I'm sure it wasn't wine. I don't know what was going on with wine at the time that couple would have been doing it. But
it's true. I was putting it in a contemporary context.
Yeah, because I feel like today it would just be some gimmick and it would just be like, get them in, get them out, give them the trash.
Yeah.
So there's a chance that it's very good wine, but also not a ton of wines can make it 40 years like that. Like, you're right. Because unless it's very, very good. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, champagne shouldn't be more than 20 years-ish. I mean, depending, but, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, who knows? But I noticed it too and thought it was weird.
Okay, yeah. But I knew you'd know.
Yeah. I mean, I at least know that it's weird.
Yeah.
Seems questionable. She goes and she's sending a text when she's with her sister. And it just made me realize, or made me frustrated all over again the way I am every time. If you're not going to make it an iPhone, don't use the wrong iPhone sound.
Yeah.
If you're not going to make it a recognizable phone, just use a just different sound. It's just like if you send a text, it goes whoop, and it doesn't go beep, which is the sound. It made the exact sound from an iPhone that you make when you are doing voice dictation and it stops recording you.
Mm.
And that is the sound that they used. And I just drive, it's just a personal pet peeve in movies and stuff. And I know like phone stuff is very difficult in movies and actually takes a lot of time and it's hard to get right and blah, blah, blah. But like, just don't use the wrong sound. Use a made up sound. Have it go, I don't care. Just don't use an existing sound. We've all heard all iPhone sounds 1,000 times. So anyway, they do go on rafting that looks fun. It kind of looks like an endless Splash Mountain, but without the racism. So that does seem like something that would be fun, although you'd...
Well, now it's Tiana's ride, which I guess might be an answer to the Song of the South.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But it's a great movie. It's set... I mean, it's a cartoon, okay? I get that it's not, you know...
A documentary.
Yes, I
know. So it seemed like that, and that seems fun. And then they're about to do the mini golf, which doesn't seem like a big adventurer thing to me.
Yeah.
And the fact that it wasn't acknowledged that there was mini golf plus her ex with the whole golf thing seemed like it was rife for jokes, but
yeah,
but they
didn't think of that.
And then this strange guy shows up And then, like, the bride, oh, because they're there with Phil and Beth, because where aren't they with Phil and Beth?
Well, and they're a foursome now.
Yeah. And then I guess it was her brother or something. And she runs, what are you doing here? And he's like, oh, I just thought I'd come early, which you don't just do. You don't just assume you should go to someone's pre-wedding trip early and then crash an event.
Nope.
How he knew where they were, I don't know. But
well, everyone, I mean, they were just inviting everyone. They probably left a forwarding area on their door.
But the best line delivery in this entire movie was when he said, I'm the best man after all. That's exactly how he said it. Do you think that that's what that expression... Do you think that that's what the writers... I'm the best man after all.
I'm the best man after all.
But of course it's, I'm the best man after all. Of course that's a dumb, stupid, overdone sort of line. But I'm the best man after all.
Yeah.
Just how to read it like it's any language is not your first. I mean, it's just... It's crazy. I'm not going to get over it. I'll keep going on if I'm not stopped. So I'll stop myself.
Well, this movie did not feel any necessity to basically focus on the romance or any conflicts or anything therein. I mean, witness the whole butterfly garden scene in which the protagonist did not even take part. She was over. Where is that when they were at the zip line? That's when they were at the zip line.
Well, and when they were doing mini golf, they were up in the Ferris wheel. So, why not just have the things happen together? I don't understand.
And that Ferris wheel definitely wasn't there when her grandparents were there. There might have been a Ferris wheel, but that was on her list.
He specifically said, well, this one was built in 2004, but I think that it's in the same place as the original.
Okay. All right.
He's not sure, though. And you know who should be sure?
Your tour guide.
Yeah, that's right. So then they go up and, before that, during mini golf, the sister is hitting it off with the best man. And then she is like, yeah, I really miss traveling. And he goes, why don't you do it now? And I'm like, she's on a trip right now. Also, she's on a vacation. She's traveling now.
But then the business partner at the tour place says,
Emily Henley
says, you know, it's never
J.K. Rowling.
What? Wow, she won't. She's doubling down on. Anyway,
not doing.
It's
her best
not now. Good.
Not good.
So she's saying to Carly, I guess the sister. You know, the butterflies show us that it's never too late to reinvent yourself. And I'm thinking, I've got some butterfly earrings that beg to differ. You can change once. That's what the butterflies tell us. You got one shot at a new career, and then it's over.
And you have to hide during your metamorphosis and be isolated and solitary. And then you have one good chance to come out into the world and be fucking hot.
Yeah. By the way. The butterfly earrings I refer to were from a butterfly conservatory where they only, the no butterflies were harmed in the making.
That's right. I remember those ones.
Yeah. But the point still remains. Butterflies don't then become bats and then become ponies. You know what I mean? You don't get to keep doing this. They're not shapeshifters. They're just weird bugs.
Oh my god, that's so funny. So then the Ferris wheel stops while they're in it. While what's his name? Miles?
Mike. It's Mike. Not even Miles. It's not even as interesting as Miles. It's Mike. No. It's as generic as he is.
Yeah. So Mike.
I do love dearly some friends that are Mikes, but you know what I mean. Come on.
It's true, but it's
not
on
everybody.
Him, it looks fucking boring.
Not everybody needs to be a Luke.
Not everybody can pull off Mike, I guess is what we're saying.
Yeah.
So Mike and Madeline?
Madeline.
Okay. Are at the top of they're on the Ferris wheel and it stops. And then the sister is like, oh no, she's always been scared of getting stuck on top of a ride.
Oh, like that time she climbed the pole of the Astro Orbiter and it started up.
What a crazy specific phobia that is.
Yes. Ever since she scaled the outside of Space Mountain and couldn't get down, she's been afraid of being stuck on top of a ride.
I was on a ride at, maybe it was Universal or something. We did this crazy marathon thing when Richie and I first met because I had a wedding in Pennsylvania to go to that I was in, and he had a wedding in Pennsylvania to go to 2 weeks after that, which was crazy. We're like, well, we're not going to spend two, you know, we were brand new at dating. We invited each other to these weddings. It was really cute.
We weren't brand new at dating. You were new to each other.
Brand new to each other.
How do we do this? We both want to do things in the same area. Can we do that together?
And so we were like, well, we're not going to spend two fucking weeks in Pennsylvania. I'll tell you that right now. Right. So we ended up doing a road trip in the middle. And we went to a wedding that I was in. And then we drove all the way down to Florida.
Yes, you did.
Because he's from Orlando originally. His family's from L.A., but he's from Orlando. And then I just want to be specific. I'm
immediately picturing a baby Richie on his own in Orlando, toddling over to the Publix to get more diapers.
If anybody would be like that, it'd be him.
I know. When he finally reveals his trauma.
Oh no.
My family lived in LA, but
they couldn't afford
it. I was raised myself in Florida.
Well, I say that because he probably already has on the show said he's from LA, and he probably will again come on the show and refer to being from LA. And I'm just covering his bases for him in a way I don't need to.
Yeah, exactly.
But he was born here in LA, and then he lived in Orlando. So we went down there, and his dad used to be like the VP of Universal Parks, and like I don't know, he had some crazy huge job there. And so we went down to take advantage. He was about to retire, so we went down to take advantage of the last free tickets to Universal. Yeah, and I'd never really been to Universal. And we went to Disney World because I love Disney World.
Right.
And we did every single Disney World park and every single Universal park and then flew back for another wedding that he was in. Actually, yeah. I guess he wasn't in it, but we flew back to another wedding. It was fucking crazy. It was the craziest, craziest thing ever. Mm. And why I'm on this tangent is a great question.
No
great,
idea.
Great question. It's coming. It's going to come back to me. I tell you, oh God, I'm going to have to edit this later. And I'm going to be like, it was, you were talking about this. And I'll know then. So anyway.
Oh, they were at the top of a ride. Did you get stuck at the top of a ride there?
Okay. Yes. Yes. So when I was in Universal, I got stuck at the end of a ride with one of the worst people I've ever met. So
I got locked in the zoo once.
I got locked in the zoo once. we were at the end of a ride that was like very like, whoa. And then we was jerked to the halt at the end and it was boiling hot. It was August in Orlando, super, super humid. And we were in blazing sunshine. And the girl next to me was having a crazy panic attack about it. Was freaking the fuck out.
Yeah.
It was that girl. If you remember her.
Oh, I do. I do. With the hat.
Yes. The same girl who went on to like dominate the entire conversation at Margaritaville later, which
yes,
already questionable and horrible, and already also the margaritas for some reason made all of us hallucinate. But she just was dominating the whole conversation, talking about all the people in her life who've died. So she was a delight.
Yeah,
but yeah, fun. I got trapped at the end of a ride with an awful person.
Yeah, that's
so
fun.
That was fun. And
so back to the movie.
Back
though.
To the
She's
movie.
Admiring his pictures and like the pictures that her sister took, which she couldn't possibly have taken. How did she get the mid zip line woo picture of him?
Oh my God!
Why do we do this? This
what
is
so delusion?
Stupid.
It's crazy. It's so fucking crazy. And I did. There was one more thing I wanted to acknowledge about the top of the. When she's in the Ferris wheel, she's like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, just realizing how afraid of heights I am. And then a line later, like he tries to soothe her, but she's not like, okay, okay. And then she's trying to have some to talk to distract herself. That's not how the scene goes. She's just freaking the fuck out. And the next second she goes, you did this for me?
Yeah. He says, I paid them to stop it. Yeah. It's just, no, thanks, buddy. Thanks so much.
Yeah. I also,
you know,
paid
fear
for them
of heights is pretty rare.
I also paid your parents to come reenact the conversation that they had when you were six when they told you they were divorcing. I just want you to get past your fears.
Yeah. Now, if you'll come right this way, we're going to mimic a vaginal birth.
Oh, careful. careful. You don't want to step on an asp. Why did it have to be Mike?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Oh, yeah, I was just, you know, he goes back into the office and Emily Henley says, Emily Henley. Anyway, she says something about how she's never seen him happy before. So that's like, wow, that's
ever,
fun.
Ever?
Yeah.
What a delight he is.
And then, but, and I'm just thinking he's even more boring when he's happy.
I know. He's aggressively, ugh. I mean, it's just like, first of all, they do an establishing shot. And I thought it was so weird to see a TGI Fridays in an establishing shot in a Hallmark movie. Like they, the fact that they acknowledge the outside world in any way in this movie is just crazy. And the fact that the sister's divorced. I was like, oh, the fact that Hallmark is barely, that it's a surprise that Hallmark is being liberal enough to mention divorce.
Yeah, well, you know, that is surprising.
That's the problem. But then, so then we see the TGI Fridays, and then I was just thinking about how she does need a rewatch. She's like suddenly completely fucking smitten and obsessed with Mike. There's one scene where she's sitting on a bed looking at pictures of him and like zooming in on his very plain face. And I get it. It's like when wives are like pictures of their husband and it's just like, my handsome guy. And it's just like some yeah. dude.
My handsome guy. What was...
Just some guy with his Costco
shorts.
No,
but no, what you were talking about on the in that Lighthouse movie, my special man, my special
oh, my
guy.
My special guy.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
My special guy. So then, I mean, like, she does need a rebound because fucking Jason need, like, she's going to be reeling from that. I totally get that. And he's a perfect rebound, actually, because the ick is going to hit in 10 days.
Yes. Yes.
There is no way that this guy is not a fucking rebound. He's, like, love bombing her, too, when we get to it. But it's just, it's really fucked up. It's really crazy. And then he takes her on a walk to a rainbowy, yet more falls.
Yeah.
And then it was really icky to me the way he was smiling and then leaned down and kissed her. Like, it felt very, like, I felt like I was on a tour guide with somebody who was supposed to be a safe space. And then suddenly, like, I'm realizing, oh, no, this isn't what I thought. And, like, I know that we're established that she's into
it. He was seconds away from calling her monkey butt.
Oh, God. I don't think that story has made it to air yet. But he actually looks like that guy to me.
Yeah.
He looks like.
That's why I can't stand that guy. Yeah. That could be why I can't stand that guy.
Long story short, I went on a rebound week, I guess, of hanging out with a guy right in the very beginning of pandemic where we were in each other's bubble because we'd already seen each other. And it was right when it hit and the world was closing down and my world had already fallen apart because it got dumped. And then I went and hung out with this guy and the ick hit real hard, real hard, real fast. And one of the things he did was say, come on over here, monkey butt.
I think you did tell this story.
I recorded it. I don't know. I don't think that we did it with Sarah, but I don't know if it's made an episode yet. But literally my stomach feels flip-floppy even thinking about it. It's just so I think he looks a lot like him. But yeah, he's just it's an icky, icky, icky when he goes to try and kiss her. And then the scene ends, but they had to walk all the way back to wherever together. So right. It's awkward because she does not kiss him back. She's like, I can't. And then they have plans
because she goes back and Jason Reed has liked her photo and then he texts her,
which is her ex.
Yeah.
Yes, he texts exactly. And says, I miss you, which I'm like, that guy would never send capital I miss you, period. That is just not that guy's vibe.
Lowercase, no punctuation.
Absolutely. Possibly even just the letter U.
Likely.
Yeah. So then they're getting all dressed up to go to karaoke.
Yep. Oh, and she is full glam in her 1982
her cotton dress.
Cotton short dress. What the?
Kirkland Designs, baby. But he, so he, but then he, she gets a text from him, from Mike, and it's just a picture of him like holding a something and he's leaning against a brick wall. It's clearly not a selfie.
Right.
And he's like,
excuse me, sir, can you take a picture of me?
Yeah. And then he just,
as you can see, I look dapper.
And the thing is that when people take pictures of themselves, they usually do like a funny little face or like a, I don't know, or something like that. But he just tried to look cool. Like he tried to look like he was modeling. And then he sent dapper enough. And it's like, okay, dude, do you know what dapper is? Because no, you're wearing jeans and a baseball tee. Absolutely well, not. And then yeah. She did say no jeans, but yeah. Also napkin, like very bossy. Maybe just let him be.
Yeah, that's true. But I sent you a picture of a vintage Ken. He looked just like,
oh my god,
vintage anatomically incorrect Ken.
Yeah.
Just standing 100%. There awkwardly. This guy, this actor always looks like he doesn't know what to do with his hands.
All the time. And tell me what you said about being excited for your Google search to come up on the Roku for you. You said what?
Vintage Ken naked.
Yep. And then I said, I can't wait to get to your house and try to type in bars near me and get Barney Rubble anal.
Well, and this one time, Kim and I were in the car and we were listening to the Maroon 5 version of Closer by Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah, okay.
And she thought it was saying, I want to fuck you like Elmo. And all I'm saying is, if you Google that, you will find results. Carry
bring
on.
Bring me closer to God.
So they're at karaoke night. He asked her.
Sicko me, Elmo.
They're at karaoke night, and he asked if she's going to do some classic Taylor, and I was thinking she really is everywhere, just like a previous character said.
Well, and like the New York Times just released an article that was like, is it finally too much Taylor Swift? I'm not going to say that it is. I know that I have at least one listener who will text me if I say that. So I'm not going to say that, but what the thing is about this karaoke scene, it's very important because Dear Lisa Wolf, one of our listeners who is maybe one of our favorite listeners. And if you want to be a favorite listener, maybe participate more. But Lisa participates and we like to have conversations with Lisa. And Lisa said that the karaoke scene was what made her hope we would be covering it.
Oh,
and
I see.
When I heard there was a karaoke scene and that Lisa wanted us to do it, that's why we're doing this episode. So.
And here we are. Thanks so much, Lisa.
Thanks, Lisa.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Lise. This karaoke scene was fucking crazy. She's not wrong. I mean, it was no Marioki, because Marioki, was that the one in Santa Summit?
Santa
that was
Summit, good. I believe. Yeah, that was excellent. But
there's also
not,
Jingle.
This is,
that was good.
No, they're
course.
Going low budget on this. This was all public domain songs. Hence, everybody knows Ain't She Sweet and I'm Always Chasing Rainbows.
I have a lot to say about this.
I know that song because I watched Andrea McCardle in a biopic about Judy Garland in the 70s, where young Judy sang that in the 20s or teens. I don't even know when Judy Garland was born. So, Alexa, when was Judy Garland born?
Oh, my God.
Judy Garland was born in 1922.
Yes, it would have been the 20s.
She was born in 1922?
Yeah, I thought she was a lot older than that.
Yeah, because in what didn't didn't Wizard of Oz come out in 1938?
Nine, yes.
Okay, so she was 17?
Yes.
Crazy.
They taped
Keira Knightley all over again.
So she would look small. Anyway.
They what?
They bound her breasts. So she would look younger.
Wow. Okay, so, but the thing is about this karaoke scene is that it is for some reason shot with like a different camera and all the lighting is the most un-Hallmark thing I've ever seen. It looked like a Heineken commercial.
I did, though.
It was so weird. It was all the purples and greens. It's just like, that is not, when you pitch a movie, when you make a movie, there's usually a color palette. When you're pitching it for something that, for a channel like Hallmark, we all know the color palette. It's the color of Starbucks at pumpkin spice latte season, or it's bright red, but it's just not purple and green. And it was very, it took me by surprise. And then she shows up and she looks so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And then he turns and it's so close on his face and he gives a smile. And I just felt my stomach flip.
That was the ick, huh?
Yeah. And then, well, no, that had already come.
It was the acceleration of the ick.
Yeah. And then, so it's crazy because I don't know what kind of, it's like a ragtime karaoke center. I don't know why they're all singing vaudeville songs.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's just, it literally is. It was Ain't She Sweet followed by Ain't We Got Fun.
Oh,
and I was like, oh, can't wait for Ain't No Mountain High Enough. But no, we were sticking in the Cole Porter era. So
no, it's because it's public domain, I think.
You know what? That's not a good enough excuse to not do two songs that start with Ain't.
Well,
it's just not. And because they, I mean, literally not an exaggeration, my entire body was in awful chills when the Ain't She Sweet scene happened. Then, yeah, Ain't We Got Fun was also pretty cringy and went on forever. Like karaoke scenes can be used very, very, very well and can be great for comedy because you cut to them and you see how awful they are and then you move on. But no, this scene went on for like 3 minutes, which is a lot in runtime.
It
might have been longer.
Time. Yeah.
And then he said, I booked us an old classic. She's like, oh, what is it? And she's like, it's a surprise. And
well, yeah, that's going to be a great surprise if she doesn't know the song, which of course they wouldn't if they.
I don't know that song. And I listen to a lot of that stuff. I know a lot of those songs. I mean, it's not just like, yeah, I know who Frank Sinatra is. Like, no, it's like, I know Al Bowley and Mildred Bailey and all that. Like, I listen to all that old stuff. I've never heard that song in my life. Which is not to say lots of people have heard that song or haven't. It's just, that's not a classic karaoke song.
No.
Mm-mm. It was embarrassing.
Yeah.
And also, I would have thought he would be a good singer, considering that he, well, you haven't sung since, but no.
He's sung on a lot of these movies. I didn't think he was bad at the end.
In the karaoke scene, he was singing badly. And the scene with her.
Very badly. Very, very, very badly. And I don't know what the point of that would have been. Why not? You know, he didn't have, he needed to not be operatic, but he should have been competent because it was.
Yeah, and just kind of normal singer. Yeah. But they were both, it seemed like they both had the note to, first of all, watch The Secret Gift of Christmas or whatever it was called. Because that movie was all the other one that had the bad karaoke where it was just, that was the one I played from my phone because it was so bad. This was just really shocking. I couldn't believe this singing. And she just couldn't find the rhythm or could get into sync with him and also couldn't find the note. And it was just like, I get that karaoke is supposed to be bad, but it was just like, probably that girl is not the best singer in the world. Just let her get up there and sing and it won't sound professional and that'll be funny enough. We don't need that. It was so crazy.
Yes. Okay. So
we've all been leading towards the open mic night as well, because he presented earlier and he's like, I've been thinking about doing open mic night. And he's like, and then they're walking home from karaoke and then she gets awkward because they kissed. And it was like, it just seemed like this guy will not stop kiss bombing her.
Right.
And then he's like, you're going to be there tomorrow night, right? I don't know if I can do it without you, which is a crazy fucking thing to say, because it's just, okay, codependent. Like, no, get up there and like, do you think that's hot? No, it's not gallant.
No, it's been like 4 days or something, you know, like it's just. I don't know. And then she goes out with Jason. I don't know where he was during all this stuff. Probably playing
golf.
He
just arrived. He arrived.
Oh, that's right. That's right. He arrived. I forgot. He had only texted before. But anyway, he takes her out for a walk and he proposes and she says yes. And she truly looks happy. So there's no visible, like, is this the right thing? You know, it's like, no. So this is weird. She looks more excited about him than she ever visibly does about Mike.
Yeah. Well, it's really confusing because, okay, so first this is when the scene happens with the sister where she seems completely drunk.
Yeah. You know? Oh, cool. Okay.
Like,
I was wondering which scene.
Yeah. They're like at breakfast. I filmed it, but like they're at breakfast and she goes, you guys kissed? What are you talking about? I think it's great. Like, she literally says it like that.
Oh my God.
And then it's, What did he say? Like, she really is delivering every line like that. And then, I don't know, then she's out having coffee. I guess she needed it. And then the other, her love interest shows up, the best man. And then he just is not even a not leading man, like not a supporting man role. Like, he is man who fender bends you in a car insurance commercial. I wasn't getting a main character energy from him. And then, yeah, she's walking around with Jason, who is a hideous man, just hideous. All his behavior is awful.
Yeah.
And she's supposed to go. Yeah. Because she's supposed to go to the open mic night, and then she blows that off, and then she goes for a walk with him. That's when she's delighted. And we see the what's going on at open mic, and some guy is up there playing Niagara Falls Blues, which was a bop. And then Mike gets up, and it was just so cringy. He tried to start singing the song. He said, "I wrote this song about somebody who's really important to me. We met 1 week ago." Strum. Why did you? Okay, sorry guys. Strum. What did you? I can't do this. I gotta go. And he leaves, and I was just like, "Oh, that's so embarrassing." It's sad though, because I do feel like people get embarrassed, and it's like giving up is more embarrassing than just doing
I know.
It.
I mean, but we've seen this on Hallmark movies more than anywhere.
God. But then she gets proposed to by him again. He's like, and he's just like, maybe the happiest man again. And then she says yes, and the Hallmark swell plays.
Yeah,
like it's the successful. It makes me feel like whoever was scoring this movie. Watched it on double time, like Jack was.
Yes, also wasn't paying attention
because they're just like, "Oh yeah, it's the proposal scene." Yeah, it was just really cringy. And then she gets a gift from him, from Mike.
Yes, she does.
Oh my god, it's a quarter in a sil. It's like he has had it put into a locket type thing.
Yeah,
and. Then it's got the word. It's not Comic Sans. It's not Papyrus. It's some sort of awful, awful, awful birth child of the both. I don't know what
exactly.
Font that
That's
is.
What I was saying. It looked like Comic Plus because it had serif.
It was icky. And then it said from
maybe
the day
we were supposed to think that was his handwriting.
Well, it wasn't. So it's like some printer paper that he. Had to carefully cut out into a square and then put in the box with his ugly ass necklace. And then it said, "From the day we met." And I just thought, this is fucking love bombing. He wrote a song about her. He has bound the quarter and put it in a necklace. I mean, that's too soon for, that's a lot. That's intense. That's not like cool guy who's attractive, who you're like, you know, really excited and interested in. That's like, God,
no!
This guy's gonna send me his ear next,
right? I was gonna say I adore Adam, and yet if he had done something like that, I would have gotten the ick, and absolutely, and I dare say you would have too with Richie. Although neither Richie nor Adam would have done something like that, but that is just like there's nobody that's so right or so great that love bombing isn't a turnoff. I think,
yeah. Well, I mean, and I think that, like, I think a lot of people want to be vulnerable and they want to not fuck around and play games. I mean, Richie and I were like, let's not play games. And we chose not to when we first started dating. But it was like, you know, but we also were kind of like, but I'm really good at them. So just so you know, I would have been keeping
you
on your toes.
Why did you decide not to play games?
To play game, like to fuck around with each other, not to pretend, not to try and play it cool, not to like, you know, like not like to not play Scrabble.
No, I was picturing a sad backgammon set sitting in the corner.
No, we didn't want to like do the thing where you wait and you don't answer right away, even if you saw it, whatever. And I get not wanting to do that stuff.
Yeah.
But like you have to have a little bit of an air of mystique. And really the air of mystique is just having your own fucking life.
Yes.
And you just don't want to seem like.
The air of mystique is not doing the, you know, the whole, oh, sure, I'm free. And then calling your six friends and telling them you can't go to the big event you were going to.
Yeah, but from either of their perspectives, yeah, it's just they're both being icky, but it's just like they're writing a song, the whatever, like just being too, I really, really like you right away and just being like having no, you got to keep a little bit of something between you and them. It's not because being vulnerable is bad. It's not because being honest is bad, but it's because it's just like, like you said, like if Jack texted me like that, doesn't even need to be a romantic relationship. If Jack was suddenly texting me all the time, I'd be like, what is up, man?
Yeah.
Like if he was texting me with so much enthusiasm, if anybody were to text me like that, if a new friend was texting me with enthusiasm that outsized whatever I had energy for, I don't know. Just you got to be careful.
Yeah.
So anyway, then it's just like, then the movies, oh, dear God. I mean, you were texting me asking if it was actually ever going to end, if this movie would ever, ever end. Because you were on hour 13.
Yeah.
It does. It does come to an end. But then she's talking to her sister and she's like, because she gets reengaged him. She says yes. And then she comes and she's like, you know, I can't make it to the wedding. I'm so sorry, Phil and Beth, my best friends of all my life, my new family, my found family. I'm so sorry. I won't be able to make it to the wedding. And then they're like, that's fine. We don't really know you, but they don't really say that. And then the sister is like, I wish you wouldn't always play it safe. It's like, okay, bad writing. I don't know that getting back together with the guy who blew off your engagement a week ago is playing it safe.
Definitely not, especially since she later says, I don't want you to make the same mistake I did. So that's not real safe.
No.
Carly.
And so then she changes her mind when they get to the airport. And she realizes he has a golf game the next day. And she's like, is that why he wanted us to leave a day early? And he's like,
he didn't even answer, though, did he? Wasn't he like, don't start this again?
Oh, he said, if you want this to work, you're going to have to not nag me.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He said that. That is
blood boiling
favorite thing.
Yeah. Wow. What a fucking
That's dick. Why I killed your father.
So then it cuts to the wedding, which is just Phil, just Beth, just Madeline's sister, Carly, just the best man, and just Mike.
Yeah.
So who? And the officiant who looked like more punchable Ben Affleck. I don't know what. I understand that some people want to have like a super private wedding, you know?
Yes.
Or even like have a wedding where like a stranger is a witness. And I know there are people who like stay at courts so they can be witnesses to weddings and they're not, you know, like old people sit and knit so they can be a witness.
Yes.
Totally a thing.
Yes.
But being out in the middle of nowhere on Niagara Falls and wanting nobody, none of your loved ones to be there, but being fine with five strangers being there.
No, it was,
fucking weird.
It was just weird. It was just not romantic. I once again, I think this is one of those movies that was sold to Hallmark and not produced by Hallmark.
Well, there was divorce and wine in it. So you could be right. So then she completely like steals the... Oh, wait. I forgot to mention one thing that I thought was incongruent with this character, which is that when she's packing to leave with her awful fiance, she has the suitcase on the bed.
Yeah.
And I was like, no way that like prim, proper, wants everything in its place woman is getting dirty suitcase wheels on her fresh, clean hotel bed. There's just not happening.
Right.
Even if she's leaving.
Right.
Right. Then she goes to this wedding and then she goes off and like has like a scene, you know, a wedding moment stealing thing where she goes and has a conversation with him. She's wearing the fucking ugly quarter necklace. And then, which he described the quarter earlier as being filthy. So, I don't want it in my coffee cup, but I would love to have it on your neck.
Yeah.
Then they kiss and whatever, and then they end up together and that's the end of the movie.
Yeah, it was great.
So did you like this movie?
I did not. And here's the thing. You know, I've gotten even friends, even some of our dearest friends who don't listen to us, even when their daughters are on. I'm not going to mention any names, Tris. But
Taryn's mom.
Yeah. But seriously, I just hear from so many people that are, you know, that say that they really only watch the Christmas movies.
I know. Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that's a thing. And that is pretty much how we came into this, too. Summer Villa stands out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, an exceptionally good summer movie, I thought.
That was a great movie.
I actually was watching a I Love the 80s kind of show the other day, and that guy, Victor Webster is his name. There's probably going to be people who think I'm an idiot for not already knowing this, but he was very, very hot in the 80s, and he must have been on something. It was interesting. Anyhow.
Must have been on something.
on a show, not on drugs.
Although, no one's hot unless they're on drugs. We all know that.
Well, we all know that the Hollywood elite were all on cocaine in the 80s. Anyhow.
No, that's actually not. Oh, he was really hot. Holy shit.
Oh, you found him. Yeah, no, I it was worth mentioning.
Yeah, guys, look at these pictures. The third picture on Google is pretty good. The fifth. Man, he was hot as hell.
Yep. I thought he was really hot in that movie.
Yeah, he's just older.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm just thinking, and we've talked about maybe picking up a few vintage meaning before this year, Christmas movies and doing those, you know, sprinkling those throughout the year.
Oh, well, Christmas in July is going to be a fucking shit show, and it's going to be really fun.
Yeah, that is going to be fun. But I'm not doing another horrible, boring movie. If it's got this guy in it, if it's about soccer or hockey, I'm not in. Or golf.
I think that considering that I am unrelenting and we have to do every single episode, we have to do every single movie for Countdown to Christmas.
Yeah.
I will compromise with the rest of the year. We will just do the ones that we're either heavily urged to do.
Yes.
Or that interest us.
Yes.
Or that seem like they're going to be bad in the good way. Because nobody wants to sit, you know, have us sit here and just be like, oh, I was so bored the whole time. So agreed. Yep. God, yes. Man, this movie. Just a series of things you can do in Niagara.
That's what it was.
Must have been paid for the Niagara Tourism Board.
I don't know.
Another good title for this. Niagara Tourism Board presents Niagara Tourism.
But they were aimless scenes strung together. Niles, God. No. They were endless scenes of them doing things that weren't interesting to watch. Oh my God, it's like The Bachelor, right? Or The Bachelorette. There's always a fucking long ATV
scene. Yes. Oh my God.
Done.
Oh my God. We fast forward. Air balloon.
Yes. I'm not into it. You're not fooling us. You can't. It's like, it's like writing a book and like about halfway through just typing the Bible in and then, you know, just to up your word count. No, forget it.
Yep.
So.
All righty. Well, this was fun. This was a long episode, so we got to go.
Yeah.
I got to get ready for going out to sushi with your boyfriend because you didn't come to LA.
That's right. So.
And, well, I'll see you.
Bye.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.